Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, 6th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Starting at verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let us pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, your kindness. Just thank you for who you are. You're the good, the great, the wonderful God. And we thank you for your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sweet, precious, Holy Spirit of God, Lord. And we certainly need you tonight as I preach. I need you to help me and to empower me. And Lord, then you take it and use it to your glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to, of course, preach another message on treasures. Tonight I'm preaching treasures, blessing or curse. Blessing or curse. You know, the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. The problem is not money is not evil. Did you ever think about that? Money is not evil. There's nothing wrong with money whatsoever. It's the love of money that is evil. In fact, I have, I think I stuck something here in my pocket. Have a $20 bill. And it's absolutely an object. It is absolutely nothing. It cannot do anything of itself. It cannot be good or it cannot be evil. It just lays there until someone does something with it. It's kind of like a typewriter. I walked into my wife's office when I was pastor back here one day, and she was using one of these word processors. And she had already put everything in it, and she was sitting over here at her desk. And that thing back of her was just going to town, just typing up a storm. You know how those things work? And I looked at her, and she went. See how fast I can type? But that word processor would have never done anything if she hadn't put something in it. And all of those computers you folk have, that's so confusing. I don't get confused with them. They don't confuse me a bit. They don't bother me a bit. But anyway, computers, they're nothing unless you put something in them. They just sit there. Amen? It's kind of like a football. It just sits there. It can't do a thing unless the Colts get a hold of it. Is that good preaching? Amen. Jerry just fired me. But in all seriousness, you know, these things, money is just an object. Absolutely is useless. It cannot do anything unless someone does something with it. See, it can be used for good or evil. You could take this money out and buy drugs with it. Or you could take that same money out and buy some food for somebody. Buy some clothing. Not much clothing, but you can buy some clothing. Amen. So anyway, I just want you to understand the problem is not money. The problem is not money. The problem is what we do with money. How it's used. So it's not actually evil, and it's not good. It all depends on what we do with it. Okay? Money shouldn't make the decision that since you have it, you've got to spend it. Now listen, you say, oh, Brother Ross, no. A lot of folk think that because they've got a $20 bill in their billfold, they must spend it. It's got to be spent. Or they've got some in a bank account, they just can't stand it. It's got to be spent. Money is controlling a person like that. It's not meant to do that. You make the decision. You decide whether it needs to be spent or not. You decide according to the will of God. I'm still convinced, I always will be till the day I die, I'm still convinced that God wants us, Him involved in everything that we purchase. Amen. I just believe that. Now, you may not believe that, but I believe He wants to be not only involved, He wants to dictate. He wants to tell us when to use it, when not to use it. And oh, we'd be so much better off if we just let Him do it. Amen? Just let Him speak to you. You know, hear this. Past week, two or three people have come to me about something and outside of the church here. But it's come to me, and I said, you know, just ask God. Just let God tell you. You know, it's a simple thing. God wants to help us. He just does. And it's simple when you think about it. Life is simple when you just let God help you. You say, well, Brother Ross, I don't know if he want me to do that. Well, then if you don't know He wants you to do it, don't do it. You know, my old preacher, Brother Elmer Evans, you know, when in doubt, don't. Oh, he's told me that so many times. I've got it ingrained in my head. He said, when in doubt, don't. Well, if you don't know for sure that God wants something, why don't we just try not doing it until He speaks? See, the Holy Spirit of God is in every single Christian. Amen? And He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you and guide you and direct you in the way which you should go. He wants to guide you with His eye. Amen? So I'm simply saying, when it comes to money, it's the same thing. You just because you have some, you do not have to spend it. Okay? I'm just giving you some principles. Okay? You do not have to spend it. It can wait until God directs it to be spent, okay? But let me say something to you. Money is not evil in itself, but it can be a curse. Now, I want to just go and share some things. I'm not going to turn to all of these, but I want to share some Bible stories, Bible people, that money was a curse. You remember Achan? Remember? And how the battle at Jericho went, and they had great victory there, and God had instructed them not to take any silver or gold or any of those things. And of course, Achan, you know, he took the silver, the gold, and he took the Babylonian garment. He took that, and he was not supposed to, but he wanted to gain. He wanted something secretly, and he hid it, and he took it. Well, it didn't turn out so good for Achan. Not only lost his life, but his family. What I'm saying is, money can be a curse. And it was with him. Okay? Now, it can be a blessing. We'll talk about it. But it can be a curse. Not only that, you've got Balaam. You go back and watch Balaam, and he wanted to curse Israel. Knew everything he could to curse Israel, and God wouldn't let him do that. Now, he ended up cursing them in a different way. But it was all over money. The reason he wanted to curse Israel was that he was going to get a lot of possessions, a lot of money for it. It's a curse. See, Delilah destroyed Samson, basically. And why did she do it? The Philistine lords offered her 1,100 pieces of silver each. Curse. You see, money can be a curse, and you've got to be very careful. It can be a curse in what you do with it, and it can be a curse in how you obtain it. You understand? See, I don't want to drive a beer truck. Man told me, well, the reason I'm saying that, a guy told me one day, he said he was a Christian, he was driving a beer truck. I said, you ought to quit your job. You know, it's the way you obtain things. You ought to have a good, honest, reputable job that you gain money from. It could be a curse. Solomon. I'm going to go back to the book. If you want to turn there, fine. But Deuteronomy, 17th chapter, Deuteronomy, 16th verse. Given some instructions concerning a king. 16th verse, 17th chapter of Deuteronomy. And he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, and his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. You know, the one thing, and I didn't go ahead and read that, the one thing God said to do is get a copy of the law, get a copy of the book, have it beside the king and the leadership. That's what every leader in our country ought to do. They ought to get a copy of the King James Bible and set it beside them of a night, and they ought to read it, and they ought to have it in their office of a day, and they ought to read it, and they ought to study it, and they ought to go by it. That's what God was saying the king ought to do, but he said he ought not to multiply silver and gold. Silver and gold is a real problem when it multiplies, because we don't have, most of us have enough sense to handle it. And it'll turn your heart. Solomon's heart was turned. I know he was turned by the wise, but also by his riches. He was a very rich man. And so it can be a blessing, or it can be a curse. Gehazi was Elisha's servant, and Elisha had been instrumental. God used him to heal Naaman of leprosy, and Naaman offered him quite a few things, riches, money, and he refused them, would not take them. Well, Gehazi was his servant. He thought, man, I want some of that. I want to get in on some of that. So he followed him after Naaman had left and headed back to his place, his home. He followed him and told him, said, well, we need some of that. We need some clothing. And he said, we need a change of clothing. He said, well, take two. He said, we need a talent of silver. He said, take two. And he offered him all this. Well, he got back to Elisha, and Elisha called him and said, "Where you been?" Now, this is my interpretation. He said, "I haven't been anywhere. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do." Elisha said, No. He said, You lied. You lied to me." And so he said, "Because of that," he said, "you're going to have leprosy for the rest of your life. You're going to have the leprosy that was on Naaman. It's going to be on you." Now, what I'm saying is, was that a curse or a blessing? I'm giving this to you to try to help you to understand that riches and money absolutely can be a curse. It all depends on how we handle it, what we do with it. Ananias and Sapphira, of course, were struck dead over what? Money. They kept back part of the price of their possession, their place. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Was that a blessing or a curse? Amen. You can go back and in history here a little bit, the Kennedys. If you kept up on the Kennedys in past years, Joseph Kennedy made his money right at the time of Prohibition. He had ships waiting with all kinds of liquor out in the sea there, waiting till Prohibition was voted out. And he brought it in. That's the way he basically made his money. And there's been a curse on the Kennedy family. Amen. Would you want to be one? Would you want to be a Kennedy? Well, it comes because, yes, they was rich, but it wasn't the riches. It's what they did with it. And there's a curse. You go to Hollywood. Well, please don't go to Hollywood. But you go to Hollywood, and you go out there, and you look, and you see all of these riches and all of these people who are living lavishly. But folks, look at their lives. It's a curse. And just think about what's going to happen to them in eternity, see, without Christ, if they don't get saved. And so I'm simply saying to you, we've got to be very careful, because money can be a curse to us. Okay? Lot looked around and saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And I don't think anybody here would want to end up like Lot ended up. Amen? Well-watered plains of Jordan. Why? Because it was something that would make him money. He would become rich, and it was a good land and all of this. Well, it became a curse. See, money can become a curse. In fact, over in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, the 15th verse. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." You know, a simple verse of scripture, but he says, take heed. Covetousness is a serious, serious business. We have got to be careful in covetousness, because you think, well, I don't covet. Well, you got to be careful. Look at your life. See how you're living it. And I'm not saying you are, but just be very careful, because how much want do you have in your life? Always wanting. I want this. I want that. Instead of being content with what God has given us. Okay? You see, and he said, you take heed. You be very careful, because he says that a man's life is not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's an important statement. That's not life, the things that we possess. You know, there's a little sign out said, he that has the most toys wins. Now, that's not true. And sometimes I wonder if, you know, another sign, he that has the most possessions, we Christians, whoever has the most possession, we think we're going to win. You don't win that. God said that's not life. That's not what life is all about. Now look over here at Luke, the 16th chapter of Luke. Of course, a familiar. Now I wish there was some way I could do this. I cannot do it, because everybody in here knows the story of the rich man and Lazarus. But what I would like to do, if I could, if you would just imagine that you do not know that story. You know nothing about it whatsoever, okay? And I'm going to read you a couple of verses. And I'm going to read verse 22 and 23. came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. I'm reading the wrong verses. Let me see here. Okay, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, if I'd just like to ask you, if you read those verses of Scripture and you knew nothing about the story, which one of those men would you like to be? Who would you choose? Would you like to be the Lazarus who had sores all over him, dogs coming to lick him and just wanting somebody to feed him? Or would you like to be that rich man who lives sumptuously? But as Paul Harvey says, here's the rest of the story. Amen? Because the rich man, of course, died and opened up his eyes in hell. What I'm saying is, you see, riches can be a terrible, terrible curse. I want to take you over to the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verses 23, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now you're going to say, Brother Ross, does God not love rich men? Sure he does. He loves everyone. The problem is, rich people, most of the time, rich people do not love God. They've got all the other things that they love. They've got all of that means so much to them. And so that becomes the love of their life. God would save any rich man if he'd come to Christ, just like we had to come to Christ to be saved. But that's not the problem, you see. It's the problem is most rich people do not love God. They've got everything they need. I'm not sure that I don't think I've told you this here lately anyway. But when we was up in Midland, Michigan, a man in the church there where Midland Baptist Temple, and I asked him, I said, well, what kind of place is Midland? What is this? Tell me a little bit about it. He said, well, Brother Ross, he said, here's the way, Pastor Ross, he said, here's the way it is. They've got Dow. They don't need God. Dow is a big place up there. I mean, it's that's where their headquarters is, and that's, you know, they have everything. And they said, they've got Dow. They don't need God. Well, there's a lot of people like that. They're so well off that they don't really think they need God. And that's dangerous. Amen. It's dangerous to have so much stored up that we don't think we need God, you see. And so riches are very, very serious, can be a very serious problem. Go back to Matthew, the 6th chapter of Matthew. Sixth chapter of Matthew, verse number 24, is a familiar verse of Scripture. It says, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now listen, God did not say it was wrong to serve God and mammon. He did not say it was difficult to serve God and mammon. He said it is impossible. You can't do it. And people today want to, you know, spend their whole life, and I think the key word in that verse of Scripture is serve. You see, we want to spend our whole life going after money. That's one of the things that I know this church does it. I know the school does it. But we try to teach these young people that cannot be the goal of your life. Because you're just going to get all caught up in making money. That's going to become the goal of your life. And so you become a servant to it. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You've got to choose who you're going to serve. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? You know, that's got to be a direction of life. That money is not going to be that which I serve. No, God is who I'm going to serve. Okay? That's important you get a hold of that. Then also, I do believe, though, that treasures can be a blessing. I believe God intended it for them to be a blessing. I want to read to you what Martin Luther said. I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. You've heard of Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You see, we've been talking about treasures laid up in heaven. You can't lose those. It's an impossibility. You can't. Moths can't get to them. Rust can't corrupt them. Thieves can't steal them. Why? They're in heaven. They're laid up in heaven. And it's impossible for them to be destroyed. You understand? We find also John Wesley said, I value all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. Are you listening? David Livingstone stated, I place no value on anything I possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. See, they were compelled to live, not that they didn't treasure things, but that they treasured the right things. See, that's what we've got to do. We've got to put our importance on the right things. Okay? The right kind of treasures, and that's treasures that's laid up in heaven. Okay? Now, listen, I don't, anybody in here, I honestly don't, except my wife and I don't know what you have, what you don't have. I don't know how much you've got stored up. That honestly is unimportant to me. But I want you, when you stand before God, to have treasures laid up in heaven. And you're going to have to work at that. You're going to have to apply the principles of God's word to have treasures laid up in heaven. Amen. They just don't automatically store up there. You're going to have to make decisions that you're not going to let money be a curse, but you're going to let it be a blessing in your life. Brother Ross, you see, we live in a time, and we do. We live in a time where it's just things are expensive. It takes a lot of money to live, but let me say, to live the way we want to live. And do we need that lifestyle? You don't have to answer. I'm just asking you. Do we need the higher lifestyle? Is that what we need, or do we need the simplicity of life? And I'm convinced we need the simplicity of life. Amen. I'm just convinced of that. And I think God, that's the kind of life that God wants us to live. Now you say, Brother Ross, is it wrong? Is it wrong to lay up treasures? Absolutely not. You say, oh boy, now I've got it. You just got to lay up the right kind and the right place. Amen? You see, in Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Now, did you know, and what was it, Pastor Jerry, you was there the night Brother Bob Hamlin preached. He said that's an imperative, I think he called it. That's a direct command. He didn't say, you know, it'd be better if you didn't, or, you know, you ought to try not to. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's a command. Okay? That's what God says. And then, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So what he's saying is, listen, this is command. This is a command of God. Don't lay up treasures down here. Lay them up into heaven. True? That's God's command. Okay? So if we decide to do it opposite, we are breaking the command of God Almighty. Okay? All right. You see, it's commanded we do that. And I believe something. I believe wealth ought to be sought. True wealth. I'm talking about true wealth. That which comes from God. That'll help the kingdom of God. That'll benefit the things of the Lord. That is wealth way above all of this other stuff. Look at, and maybe we'll get a good example from him, but go with me over the book of Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he says. Seventh verse, third chapter. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I'm going to stop reading there, but listen to what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, you know what? I don't care about money. I don't care about riches. I don't care about any of these things. What I want to do is I want to gain the well done from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to please him. I want to do what he wants for my life. And all these other things, he said, I just count them but dung. He said, I've lost all things, but he said, it's just nothing but dung. He said, it doesn't make any difference, see, because he's gained Christ. Now, that's some attitude, isn't it? I mean, I love the Apostle Paul, and I love to read about him. He was some Christian. But I look at that, and I say, you know, he didn't care about any of those things. His whole desire, and I believe that should be our desire, is to just be more like Jesus. Don't you? I mean, I think we ought to just be more like him, you see. And to earn the eternal prize was what Paul was concerned about. That's why I keep saying to you, we need to look to the other side. We need to remember we're going to face a day when we meet Jesus. I mean, you know that. You're wise enough to know that. And then all this behind us is going to mean nothing. Amen? Say, Brother Ross, I've got to make a living. It's the way it's set up. I know that. I know you've got to make a living. And God has been good to us. He gives us a lot of things to enjoy. He really does. But boy, we don't want to be foolish. Amen? You see, the question is not, is it right to lay up treasures? The question is what do we do with them when we lay them up? What are we going to do with those treasures that God has given us? Are they going to become a curse or a blessing? The question is going to be, what have you and I done with those treasures that God has allowed us to have? Is it wrong for us to have wealth? No, I don't think that's the problem. You say, Brother Ross, do you think it's all right? God is okays it if we have some wealth? Yeah, I do. But that's not the question. It's what do we do with them? What do we do with the wealth? God's given us wealth, and he's the one that gives the ability to get wealth. Now, what are we going to do with it? That's the whole question. Amen? You see, he didn't say just lay up treasures in heaven. He said lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. I think this is a personal thing. I think this is an individual thing. My wife and I, for the last 50 years, has been one. And I believe that what we do together, I believe God will honor that together. But we still are going to be judged separately. We're not going to stand as a couple before God, and he's going to judge us as a couple. But I think he's going to give us the benefit of what we did together in our giving. I believe that. I believe she'll gain as much as I will, or lose as much as I will, however it might be. But I'm saying, he says, lay up treasures for yourself. Individually, every individual ought to see to it that they're laying up some treasures in heaven. Not on this earth, but in heaven. Amen? You understand that? You see, we need to focus on eternity. Just keep looking over there, folks. One of these days, you and I is going to stand before the Lord. May not be too long. Rapture might happen. Amen. Like I think I told you last week, when we die, that's our last opportunity to change some earthly treasures into heavenly treasures. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with all that that God has given us? What are we going to do with all those things that were stored up? I think, honestly, I think most folk is going to look back on that and say, what did I want all of that junk for? I mean, I don't care if it's a, you know, brand new car or house or what. To then, it'll just be junk. What are we going to do? You say, Brother Ross, you against me having a car? No, sir. You against me having a house? No. Just be careful what kind of money you spend on those things, because they're not treasures until you convert them. Amen? They're just not. Over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse 34, I'll just read this one verse. Listen to what he said. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Apostle Paul said, you know, you was good to me, you had compassion on me, but you knew that in heaven you have something coming. See, that's really what I'm trying to just get you to live for. Live for the future. Live, I'm talking about eternal future. You see, make sure that you lay up some treasures in heaven. Over in the book of Luke again, 6th chapter, book of Luke. Verse number 30. Now listen as I read this. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know what God is, you know, I believe God is saying there? It's easy for me to love my children. It's easy for me to love my grandchildren. It's easy for me to love my great-grandchild. That's easy. Simple, easy. It's not hard. Say, Brother Ross, do you give things to him? Yeah, from time to time, I do. Is that a good thing? I think it's a good thing. I think it's the right thing. I think it's a proper thing. But I want to tell you something right now. Every time that me or Donna goes and buys something or does something for one of our grandchildren, I don't think there's a big cash register in heaven that goes cha-ching. Boy, there is another reward for Brother Ross and Sister Donna. Well, I don't believe that for 1 minute. Do you believe that? Well, I don't. That's not where rewards come from. God told us right here where rewards come from. Do for those who can't do for you. You know, it's just a natural thing for us to love those who love us. That's what the natural man does. Not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just simply saying that's not where the rewards come from. Okay? And if you want to spend the rest of your life just giving to your own family, only the ones that just that you know and all of that, that's your business. But I want to tell you, according to the Scripture, there's not rewards or treasures being sent up to heaven just because you take care of your family. I think God is going to say to us, well, it's good that we took care of your family. I think it's a right, proper thing to do, and you should have taken care of them, and I think that God will honor that. But that's not where the rewards come from. What do we do with the things that God has given us? What are we going to do with them? That's the decision. It's not bad for you to have them. What are you going to do with them? Let me ask you a question. Let's say you had $100,000 in the bank. You get 5% interest. At the end of that year, you will get $5,000 interest. You say, is that bad? No, I think that's fine. You should use your money. But here's the question. You've got now $5,000 more. What are you going to do with it? I mean, to me, that's the whole question. God is saying, what are you going to do with that $5,000? You understand? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to use it? How are you going to convert it into heavenly treasures? Amen? Now you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. You can spend it however you want to spend it. I'm just saying to you, though, you ought to take some consideration that just because you take it and use it or even build it up down here, maybe you'll just put it in the bank. Okay, it's fine. It's good. Do whatever you want to do. But when you die, don't think that God's going to put a big cha-ching in heaven and say, boy, look at that $105,000 in the bank, and we're just going to give him some rewards in heaven for it. There is no rewards for it because it's still here. You're going to leave every dime of it here. So will I. Okay? So I think we need to make some decisions. I know I've said this maybe 300 times. But do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And I like what, I think it was John Wesley said, I think it was, he said, give generously and leave little behind. Now that didn't say spend generously and leave little behind. He said, give generously and leave little behind. Now, you'll do what you want to do. You'll leave behind what you want to leave behind. I know all those things. You know, I've been preaching for 37 years. I understand those things. But I'm simply saying to you, you better do some considering. Because God talks about rewards and the way you get those rewards. Okay? You understand? And it's important that you understand that. Well, we're in a situation in America, and a lot of people make quite a bit of money, and we want to build that up and make big bank accounts, and if that's what you do, that's entirely up to you. But you take consideration at the end of life what's that going to mean. because we're living for eternity, not for now. Amen. So money can be a curse. Money can be a blessing. I hope you and I both use it as a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your kindness and goodness. Your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.